Monday, May 23rd. Having a conversation concerning today's headlines and real-life challenges. I'm Tom Lamprecht along with Pastor Harry Reeder. Stay with us as we apply a biblical worldview with gospel solutions to put the issues of today in perspective. Harry, there's a new survey out from the Barna Group. A majority of Christian pastors in the United States do not hold a biblical worldview. Only 37% of U.S. pastors hold a biblical worldview.
Barna, a reputable, affirmed, effective researcher, has given us some data. Tom, when I was a kid, my dad, he was in the Marines. He kind of got interested in boxing. So I got interested in boxing, and I learned the reality of a particular phrase that's used in what's called the sweet science of boxing, and that is the gut punch. It just takes the breath out of you. That's a gut punch. That's what I feel as a Christian in general and as a pastor in particular. 37% do not have a biblical world and life view. Now, let me explain to our listeners. The research went into a number of areas. What is the pastor's view of God? What is the pastor's view of man? Is it a biblical world and life view of man in terms of sin? What about God in terms of who God is? What about creation? What about the gospel? What about the Bible? What about the church? And it was woefully lacking any biblical framework, any biblical foundation, any biblical precepts that were defining it. Their worldview, these people who are preaching and leading Christ's church, their worldview was more impacted and framed and filled by the philosophies of the age and the culture of today than it was from the Word of God, and was demonstrably shown through the content of their answers to the questions that were asked. Here's the bottom verdict, that we're losing the battle in the society for the souls of men and women, as well as the souls of nations. We're losing that battle because we've lost it in the pew, and we've lost the battle in the pew because we've lost it in the pulpit. Satan has successfully penetrated, infiltrated, and adulterated our seminaries, our Christian schools, and our Sunday schools, and our sermons. And so now what is communicated from the pulpit is not the Word of God applied to men and women for their lives in society and therefore impacting the culture. What we now have is the culture framing the pulpit and the culture impacting the people in the pew through the pulpit and what the preacher is preaching. Because what is ruling and reigning is not the Word of God in the lives of God's people, because the Word of God is not ruling and reigning in the life of the pastor and in the ministry of the pastor and in the sermons of the pastor. Tom, if I could say it this way, very simply, the greatest movement since Pentecost was the Reformation. And in the Reformation, the issue of salvation by grace alone, through faith alone, in Christ alone was established. And from the moment the 95 Theses in 1517 was nailed against the castle church door in Wittenberg by Martin Luther, under the threat of his life with a death warrant standing against him, stood before the church and Charles V and the Holy Roman Empire and just said, "Here I stand. Unless convinced by scripture and reason, I can do no other. Here I stand, I can do no other." In other words, biblical magisterium. Magisterium means that which rules. What rules the theology, the life, the ministry, the message of Christ's church, and that means the pulpit, is biblical magisterium. And he said no to ecclesiastical magisterium, because men and councils and popes and priests and clerics can all err. Only God's word is sovereign, sufficient, inerrant, and infallible. Therefore, we stand in God's word alone. Sola scriptura, the scripture alone is our only rule of faith and practice. Now, here we are, 500 plus years later. What is our problem? Our problem is not ecclesiastical magisterium, that is the errors of fallible men in the church. Our problem is cultural magisterium. The culture is shaping us. Why is it shaping us? Because the church is more interested in church growth than faithfulness to Christ. I'm for church growth, But church growth is not the mission. The mission is to fulfill what Christ calls us to do, which is to make disciples and teach the whole counsel of God, because God's word is our final rule of faith and practice. The demise of our culture is there today because of the loss of the impact of Christians in the culture. And the reason that Christians don't impact the culture is because they're in churches that are being impacted by the culture and not the Word of God. This almost sounds counterintuitive. The reason why the culture is conforming the pulpit and therefore the messages in the pulpit, cultural magisterium is reigning in the pew, the Christian becomes a part and parcel of a cultural devolution instead of salt and light, is because churches think their mission is to transform the culture. That's not your mission. In order to be heard, you start accommodating the culture in your message. We see it in terms of sexual ethics. We see it in terms of marriage. We see it in terms of gender, time and time and time and place and place. And biblical messages are not there that are laden and saturated with the unvarnished proclamation of the gospel of truth. Just had a young man I've had the privilege to pastor and disciple and mentor. He's going off into the 82nd Airborne. Westby gave a talk to our graduates of our Briarwood Christian School. It was an unbelievable drink of refreshing water as he said, "I'm going to tell you what I wish someone had gotten in my 18-year-old face and told me. From the heart, there is a Savior who loves to save sinners, and you and I are sinners and we need to be saved." It was a glorious message. He had both the heart and the desire to do it. That's what needs to happen in believer after believer, but it won't happen until the pulpit once again holds forth the Word of God, proclaims the whole counsel of God.
Interesting that you bring up that example of that man going into the 82nd Airborne. He wished someone had gotten in his face when he was 18. I bring that up because only 12% of youth pastors hold a biblical worldview.
And it stands to reason, if the culture is shaping us, who is under the most pressure to be shaped by the culture? It's youth pastors. And they're under it because their kids are the targets of the cultural message of rebellion against God. They are constantly in that cultural assault upon the hearts and lives of children and teenagers. Many youth pastors are under the pressure of parents who are child-centered instead of God-centered. And they'll love to have a youth group that keeps their child from doing something utterly stupid, but don't preach at my kids. Don't tell my kids that they're sinners and they need Christ. Don't let my kids get radical about this Jesus. Well, listen, Jesus is radical about saving you. And when you get saved, you get radical about Jesus. Why do I say that? Because Jesus is your life. And that's what you want your child to have. Christ is their life. Not Christ as an additive to cope with life, but the Christ who is the hope of life because he is our life. Tom, you've got pressure inside the church and outside of the church, and the pulpit is folding. We need a great awakening. We need a gospel movement throughout our society and spreading into the societies and nations of the world. But you will not have a great awakening until you have a revival in the church. And you will not have revival in the church until you have a reformation in the pulpit where God called qualified men stand under the eye of God, pour themselves out as a drink offering, fight the good fight with the weapons of the Spirit, enter into the battle for the hearts and souls of men, beginning with those that are listening to us every single Lord's Day. Sanctify the people of God in the truth, Jesus said. And then he said, "My word is true."
There have been periods of time in world history and in our nation's history where God has brought great revival, an outpouring of the Holy Spirit, which led to a widespread positive response to the good news of Jesus Christ. Harry Reeder examines biblical revival as seen in both the Old and the New Testament in his 20-part series, Revive Us Again, Revival in Biblical Perspective. To order this series, go to briarwood.org/revival. Thanks for being with us today. Join us again tomorrow, Tuesday, as we continue our conversation and as we apply a biblical worldview to put the issues of today in perspective.